We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No, Michael Show continues on. We started talking the other day some baseball, and I know the big series coming up this weekend down in Chicago with the Brewers. But we wanted to kind of follow up a conversation that had started, and many of you had questions about when Seth Everett was on the program. So I said, you know what, let's continue this conversation because we don't get nearly enough time to kind of cover everything when Seth is on. So we bring him back. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, Forbes.com. Seth, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, my friend?
Yeah, it's really weird because you and I had this conversation, and it was probably one of the more requested. I had people even listening to the podcast last night that were saying, hey, when is he coming back on? We want to listen to this. And you and I started talking about the state of baseball, and it's not just nitpicking American League and National League and all that kind of stuff. It was just legitimately looking at baseball, and I thought, you know, we didn't have enough time to get into everything. We were talking about the direction in which it's going and how, you know, attendance is down, and yeah, there's something to be said about some of the early season weather because we have had some goofy weather, but the game itself seems to be, at least a national perspective is that it seems to be suffering in some way, shape, or form, and launch angles and exit velocities and sabermetrics have taken over. But one of the things that I had a question, and this is where we kind of left off, was when Bud Selig left the game and gave it over to Rob Manfred, the game itself was making money hand over fist. Ratings were really pretty good. Everything seemed to be trending in the right direction. Was it anything that Manfred did since taking over that has caused baseball to begin this a little bit of a descent?
I think Manfred has been a little negligent in acknowledging what has gone on. Because if we look at the timeline of these things, really it's 2016 excuse me, and 2017 as the years where this transition started to happen. What I have conversations with Bud, because he was my boss for 8 years, they thought that social media wasn't the proper way to gauge fan interest. What they thought was, look at how well app is doing, the MLB at Bat app. And then it became about the internet, and it became about the fact that Disney wanted to buy BAM Tech. And that was considered the victory because, you know, what they were doing to impress the tech surface of society was put together technology for this app. And I love the app. I think the app is great. And I know the person who designed it. And he's a millionaire, and rightly so. But what they were negligent, and I think this is more Manfred, was not acknowledging that as society was becoming more interested in Twitter and Instagram and things like that, I think that they turned a blind eye. And, you know, the things that they look at as strengths are, to me, misguided because, yes, you have the most downloaded app. It's the number one downloaded app in iTunes history. You also play 162 games in a very gambling-friendly sport. And so, to me, that is where the negligence comes. So I'm not saying that Bud turned a blind eye. You know, that's going to be on his tombstone. You know, Bud Selig turned a blind eye. He didn't. He knew what was going on. If you want to do the steroids, he knew. He was not going to get Don Fear to take his phone call. So let's drop that issue.
Right.
But at the time when BAM was going through its thriving, I think that's when their certain arrogance developed. And I don't think they've come out of it. The union has been saying this is a broken system. And everyone thought, well, how is it broken if you're seeing these mega contracts like ever before? And all that is inflation. You know, Bryce Harper is not a better player than Alex Rodriguez was. He's just a free agent now as opposed to 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. The state of the game itself right now, And as summer comes along, things begin to heat up. The problem that I have is you've got a good amount of teams that really aren't that competitive. And it's probably as big a schism as I can remember since maybe growing up. I mean, growing up, you had only four divisions, you know, and you know, two in the American League, two in the National League, and you know, most everybody was, you know, out of it by the midway point of the season. You're kind of climbing back towards that. The wild card added some additional interest, and it's been tremendous, don't get me wrong. But with teams competitively just kind of pocketing the money, I guess, or trying, everybody's rebuilding, you know? Where does this leave competitive balance when there really isn't a competitiveness to the game?
I mean, there really are only about 13, maybe 14 teams that have legitimate shots to win the World Series. And, you know, I thought in baseball's heyday, when competitive balance had its heyday, which was the mid-2000s, there were two-thirds of the league. And that's pretty impressive. You know, when I was at MLB in the 2000s, we used to have this focus. We would circle any game that involved playoff contenders. And of the 15 games a night, because there are 30 teams, of the 15 games each night, there would usually be 13 games that had it. Nowadays, you'll find four or five games in which you're playing no-hoper against no-hoper, and you're not selling anything. Like there's nothing that can be sold from that. It's unfortunate. You know, what's happened in Baltimore is disgusting, and how Peter Angelos is not raising holy heck shocks me. We've talked at length about the Miami situation. Mm-hmm. That's an ugly situation that, you know, I don't know if you saw the story that Ken Rosenthal had in The Athletic about Gary Denbo, which is Derek Jeter's right-hand man, and how many people have quit working for Gary Denbo. It's a fantastic story, and it's something that is just a microcosm. And I have said that, you know, it's dead team walking, because where they built their stadium was the worst possible location. And I had baseball officials telling me that before they even broke ground on that ballpark. So to see it happen in real life is shameful, but it's not a surprise in any way. And I didn't understand why the interest in buying them was, unless it was just to get a piece of the BAMTech sale from Disney. Because if that was the case, then you got it, and if I were them, I would sell. Like, I don't understand why Stu Sternberg, the Rays owner, doesn't try to sell that team. Lou Wolf has insisted on getting a new ballpark for the Oakland A's. He's the owner of the Oakland A's. And I was presented with a great thing this week on my podcast, and I didn't think of this. But, you know, the Warriors are leaving. You know, the Golden State Warriors are moving to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not getting a lot of publicity because it's not the Raiders moving to Las Vegas. Why don't you build a new baseball stadium, like a boutique-y, smallish, you know, 32, 33,000 seat stadium right on the parking lot of where the Golden State Warriors play, that Coliseum?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. And I said, that's the one location that Lou Wolf doesn't have to get permission from the Giants, you know, because of territorial rights.
Right.
And if he's smart, just build it there. And people will say, well, that's not good business. You wouldn't build in a downtrodden community like Oakland. You wouldn't build something new in a downtrodden community. Well, then contract the team.
Right.
Because if you can't compete, if you can't come up with reasons to compete, don't have the team.
And I'll be honest, I don't think we are in a situation right now as a society where stadiums, I mean, Vegas got one because Vegas has never had a major sports franchise, so they were more than willing, and there's money there, but they were more than willing to say, hey, well, we want a sports franchise for the first time in our history, and they can make it go there, and they can put on the show. But I don't think there's a lot of communities opening their arms and their pocketbooks right now to owners going, we're going to go ahead and build this or that. There's going to be some that are going to say, we don't want to lose our team. But even like here in Milwaukee, where the Bucks are successful in going to the Eastern Conference Finals, the owners had to put up at least half the money or it just wasn't going to fly. So I don't think there's a lot of communities right now that are saying, hey, we've got $1.5-2 billion to build these giant magnanimous stadiums right now and take on these teams. Major League Baseball is looking at things going, we may not have a home for some of these teams. We could have homeless teams right now.
Well, there's two cities that I think that need to be vetted. And baseball, and this is something that under Bud they used to do right away. Bud used to have a relocation committee. And as soon as a city came, this was back in 2002 when, remember the Minnesota Twins were almost contracted?
Yes.
And during that time, they were talking about other potential cities. In 2019, I would say the two best options for relocation are Portland, Oregon, and Montreal. And if you could investigate those two cities, and, you know, it depends on who you talk to. I did a podcast with a guy who's a noted television newscaster in Montreal, and he says they're ready and their infrastructure set, and they can get private financing. Stu Sternberg just has to sell. Portland, I don't know about. All I know is a guy that I used to work with at Forbes. He writes about Portland as an option all the time. So all I can say is he's either a big fan or he knows something that everybody else doesn't. The argument to me about teams is the union won't let you contract. So it's not an option. The sport would be better if they had less teams, but the union will not permit that. So you have to play by the union's rules. And what the union wants to change are things like service time. This is something that offends a lot of baseball fans.
Yeah.
You know, they if you stay in the minor leagues through the June draft, you can you give your franchise another year of eligibility before you can file for free agency. So teams are taking stars, potential stars that are major league ready, and they're keeping them in the minor leagues just so that they have an extra year of control. Well, that defeats the point of competitiveness. And if you're trying to win, if ideally, and let's just, you know, put on idealistic hats and say that ideally all 30 teams are, you know, putting on uniforms today to win, well, you know, their front offices are getting in their own way. And that's unfortunate because that's something that needs to fix, and that's something that I think is going to be a big sticking point for the union. And what the league is going to fight back with when they try to take that on is they're going to try to say, can I sign a major league contract that is not guaranteed?
We're talking with Seth Everett, National Baseball Insider of Forbes.com. Seth, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to kind of wrap things up in our discussion regarding the state of Major League Baseball. I know it's a short one, but I think it's a very evidentiary one when it comes to where baseball is as the national pastime. We got more with Seth Everett coming up right after this.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board with us. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better catering, not a problem. Cousin Subs, you got a big event coming up. Go to CousinSubs.com to see everything that they have to offer, whether it's the sandwiches, you've got soups, you've got salads. Those Wisconsin cheese curds, oh so good. You stop in at Cousin Subs. Go to CousinSubs.com, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Talking with our guy Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider for Forbes.com. So, Seth, the game itself, we know, and you know, overall, the viewership, the attendance and such has declined somewhat. The numbers, as far as the monetary aspect, is still pretty good. But, you know, if you had to say, here's the future of baseball in 10 years, where do you think it is without any kind of a radical change?
Well, the thing about it is there's a collective bargaining agreement that's coming, and I think that will bring on some form of change. I don't know how that's going to get resolved, and I think that, you know, if I had to predict, if there's a long work stoppage, I think the sport's doomed. If they can figure out some kind of a hybrid plan where the system changes, I'm open to it. You know, I really am, and I'm not being facetious when I say that. I root for baseball. You know, baseball's meant a lot to my career. I don't want to see this come down. What I get frustrated with more than anything is when I try to sit down, whether it's at a ballpark or on television, and try to watch five straight innings without doing something else. I can't do it. It is so stinking slow that I am, you know, maybe I have ADD or something, but, and I'm not trying to, you know, make a joke there. Like, I have to be on Twitter. I have to be at my computer. I have to be at my desk. I have to do something. And when I'm at the ballpark, I case the joint. I walk around because I'm not compelled. What I love about baseball still is the fraternity of it. So I love going to ballparks. And when I go to ballparks, I try to go 3 and 4 hours early because I love saying hello to everybody. And I love seeing the managers and the players and less players because I'm older now. But I love to see all the people, you know, front office execs and sit with them and chat and hear how things are going. And everyone has these concerns. Like, this is not just me standing on a soapbox. This is everyone's concerned about the state of their game. And what everyone doesn't seem to realize is that just acknowledging that there's a problem is only step one of the problem. And it's the people who are in charge. And ultimately, I think there'll be a new commissioner after the CBA is over. And I think that depending on how those negotiations go, that'll determine the fate of the sport.
So let me ask you this. If indeed the Players Association does not want contraction, they obviously want to keep the DH. They feel there's added money there. And I've always said it's guys that really can't play baseball. They can just hit the baseball that are taking spots away from out of the minors who can play the game all the way around. But do we go all DH? Do we go to just two separate type of leagues like Eastern Conference and Western Conference? Is there a radical realignment, or is it just status quo, add a little money, get some more sponsorship dollars, and hope for the best?
No, I think it's radical realignment. I think radical realignment makes sense. I would get rid of the leagues. You know, I thought I was a traditionalist, right? So I love the American and National League. I just loved it from a standpoint of I loved AL umps and National League umps. There used to be something in baseball called a National League strike zone. And that's gone because you homogenized all the umpires. Now you're an MLB umpire. And so the umpires see each team less. So the camaraderie between the umpires and the players is less. Plus the advent of replay, it's taken, you know, one of my favorite things out, which was the arguments. I loved arguments. I think they were fun. You know, Billy Martin and Lou Piniella and these guys, you know,
right.
Sparky Anderson would throw things and, you know, not to injure, just to be fun and be a cartoon. And I loved that. I think that once you did that and had one commissioner's office instead of league presidents, then do me a favor, just make one league and have it be geographic. So there's an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference, and the teams in the Central, I don't know who gets, you know, drafted to what side or whatnot. So I don't have that answer for you. But I think that if you're an East Coast team that only has to make one West Coast trip a year, I think that cuts down so much on your travel. And I think that the impact of that could be, you know, a benefit, especially if you're going to continue to, you know, have the highest drug testing program in American sports.
Always good, Seth. It's great to chat. I'm glad we got to expound on a few things today. I'm sure we'll pick up where we leave off coming up next week, and then we'll talk more about the series of the Cubs and the Brewers and more just inner baseball stuff. But I'm glad you took a couple of minutes with us, man.
No, I'm happy to do it anytime, and I'll say this. Like, enjoy this weekend. You know, don't read too much into it. It's still May, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And my prediction is someone takes 2 out of 3. Nobody gets swept. and just the idea that, you know, winning this series is a nice statement, but losing it doesn't doom your season.
No, exactly. I completely agree with you. Good stuff as always, although if the Brewers sweep, then we're all, you know, we're all in the highest of highs.
And then it bucks who?
Drink heavily, right? Yeah, exactly. Right. Good stuff,
we'll
buddy.
Talk to you soon. Who?
Talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
So, yeah, Seth Everett, National Baseball Insider for Forbes.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.